This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Mark Gastineau. You're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's Don and Peter here closing out a K-less week. Hopefully everybody survived the storm. In all seriousness, I know in some areas it was really, really bad. You're seeing video of just water engulfing cars and just wreaking havoc on the subways. And Anthony Greek just sent me a picture from today, his commute into Stanford where the Yes Studios are, Peter. Just cars just trying to fight through, you know, feet of water. And I know there was a lot of rain overnight, too. So it was a tough commute for a lot of people last night, made worse by all the rain in the overnight. So hopefully everybody is safe and okay, and there isn't too much damage to your homes and your cars, and you made it through. And like what usually happens, Peter, after a hurricane or a tropical storm, the next day is nice. And we've got a pretty nice day here, at least where I am. A lot of blue sky, a nice sunny day. But last night was tough for a lot of people, so hopefully you guys were able to get through it.
I didn't have anything too crazy on my end. You know, on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, it was not insane. A lot of rain, some thunder and lightning, but nothing too crazy. But, yeah, I saw those videos of the subway and of the Deegan and the Bronx. Oh. It was an absolute mess. It really does get you concerned about what's going to happen in this city as time goes on. That part's a little scary, but that's for another day.
Yeah, but just hopefully
we can just kick that can down the road, Don. Hope for the best.
Hey, listen. People, homes, things can get replaced. I know it's a lot harder for some, but you want to make sure that at the end of the day, everybody's healthy, everybody's all right, because they're showing it right now on, yes, Stanford, Connecticut, people going through the water. And I can imagine there are people in the Deegan who thought they can get through, and the next thing, the car is floating, and you can't get out, and you panic. I just feel terrible for people going through that stuff. So hopefully you're okay. But the infrastructure and you're talking about like sewage systems that are 100 years old and they just can't take the, you know, 5 inches of rain in 45 minutes. And so it was tough, but hopefully everybody's okay and we can enjoy some sports here and get you through into a weekend of a lot of great sports. We got the NBA Finals. I think I said it last night. I said the winner of this game is winning the series. I'm sticking to that. Peter disagrees, so we'll get into that later on.
I do disagree.
We need to get into the Mets and the Pirates. They've got a 4-game set with a doubleheader tomorrow and still no starter for Sunday, so there's a possibility that DeGrom will pitch in a series of pitchers on Sunday, but a chance for the Mets to get well as now the Nationals kind of hit the skids and they've fallen down. So you take a look at the standings for the Mets. They have a 4-game lead over Philly, 4.5 over Atlanta, 4.5 over Washington, 8.5 over Miami. And, Peter, what do Philly, Atlanta, Washington, and Miami all have in common? They all are under 500.
It's not a pretty division, but it's also there are two things. One, you don't know which Nationals you're eventually going to get here, right? Are they going to even out, not be maybe as great as they were over a 3-week period, but also not be as bad as they are right now? And also, at some point, will Atlanta sort of wake up and really fulfill their full potential too?
Well, they are plus 16 run differential, so that's gotten better. They've won 6 of their last 10, but they're still 2 games under 500, and the Mets have a chance against a Pirates team that comes in last place in the Central, 22 games under 500. So Mets can at least take maybe 3 out of 4, possibly sweep the series, and go into the All-Star break with a real head of steam with 49 wins. They could be in really good shape for the second half of the season. But we're going to start with the Pinstripe Report. It's brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. The reason we start with the Yankees and the Astros is because, Peter, it's Yankees-Astros. And it's the end of this road trip. The Yankees took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They were putrid yesterday. I mean, we couldn't really get too much into the game because it was on while we were on. They got one hit, Peter. And, yeah, you could say that's typical day, getaway day, but they were completely shut down. Completely shut down. And listen, they took 2 out of 3, and that's what it's about. But now you go up against the Astros, who, by the way, are 20 games above 500, and they're first place in the Central, in the West, with the record of 54-34, a plus 140 run differential compared to the Yankees minus 3. So the Astros, one of the best teams in baseball. So you don't want that last loss to Seattle, and then you drop two out of three or get swept by Houston, and you stumble into the All-Star break, you know, back to 500 with a four-game losing streak. So it's big in that sense. But it's also big, Peter, because it's the Astros. And this is public enemy number one to Yankee fans. And what's irritating about this Astro team is that they're good. So last year they were 500. They made the playoffs. They came back from 3-0 down, forced to game seven in the playoffs. But, you know, still they looked like a team that weren't cheating anymore. So you kind of felt like you got your pound of flesh, right? All right, well, listen, you know, now you're not cheating anymore. Now you're not getting the signs. You look like a pretty average team. Well, fast forward this year, they're 20 over. Yankees did win the series against them at Yankee Stadium, and the Yankee fans got their chance to boo them. But, Peter, it probably irritates a lot of people that this team is good. Now, why are they good? Are they still cheating? Or were they just that good to begin with? And if they were that good to begin with, Peter, does that let them up? Like a lot of apologists for the Patriots and for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens who say, oh, listen, those guys were great anyway. It didn't matter that they cheated. Or do you take the other way and say, wow, the arrogance that they didn't need to do it and did it anyway? Where do you fall on it?
I don't think there's any way to deny that this team is just that good. And if you want to – that's a personal opinion, whether you hate them more because in spite of them being good, they still felt the need to do what they did. But I'm sorry, Don, it's year in, year out. This is what they've been now for, what, 5 years? 6 years?
Yeah. No,
This is the team they are. And even the players who you thought could have been most affected by the cheating are still good. So I think it makes it extra annoying. It makes you want to hate them more. If they had turned to garbage afterwards, it would have been like, oh, see? And you could have rejoiced. But you can't rejoice because they're that good. In fact, they're a better team than the Yankees and have been basically every year. So that part's frustrating, I'm sure, for fans. It makes you hate them even more. That was like when I rooted against Duke. It wasn't just that they were so annoying and irritating the way they played the game, and in some cases dirty. They were just so good, too. And that's what I think this Astros team is.
Yeah, there's no denying how good they are. I get it. You know, Brantley's batting .332. Altuve's got 19 home runs. Alvarez, 56 RBIs. Altuve has also got 64 runs scored. You know, they are an outstanding team. Just like the Patriots are an outstanding team. But do they continue to hear about Spygate and Deflategate? And does it put a seed in your brain? To some people, like Jet fans, hey, that they're tarnished. No matter how good they are. Same thing with Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. Yeah, in some areas, the people that love Clemens, and certainly in San Francisco for Barry Bonds, the conversation is he was good anyway. So what? Steroids didn't matter. But to a lot of people, it does. Because of the arrogance. Of you were a great player in Pittsburgh, and you had to take the stuff in San Francisco and have to become an amazing player? But that's usually how cheating works, Peter, right? We only acknowledge the cheating when it works. I remember years ago, before you were doing the show, or maybe in the infancy of doing the show, the Cleveland Browns got banged by the NFL for texting during games. No one cared because they were the Browns. The Atlanta Falcons got banged by the NFL for pumping fake crowd noise into their building when the opposition had the ball. But at the time they did it, the Falcons weren't good. No one cared. And I'm sure the Astros were not the only team that were stealing signs. But when you win a World Series,
yep,
and then you go to a World Series, or you win a bunch of Super Bowls, or you break the record for home runs, and you win a boatload of Cy Youngs, well, then people pay attention to it. So I don't think they should be let up. I don't think that people should look at the Astros and go, see, they're 20 games above 500. So everything they did is legit. No, I don't think you let them up. And listen, you know me, Peter. I'm not a Yankee fan. But the cheating and getting away with it really bothered me. None of these players ever got suspended, ever got fined. They didn't lose anything. And for all I know, maybe they have figured out another way to cheat. But just being 20 games above 500 and being a real good baseball team does not let you up. It will in Houston. It will to an Astros fan because you're an apologist. That's what fans do. But this team can win the World Series, Peter. I don't think you should ever let them up. So please, I am not going to look at this as, well, the Astros are still great. Astros still win. They can't possibly be cheating anymore. Well, you know, maybe. But even if they're not, I'm not letting them up for 17. And I'm also not letting them up for 19 because something was going on there. So maybe I'm the bad guy. Maybe I've got to learn to kind of let go. But I don't think Yankee fans should. So big series tonight, fun series. Yankees got to try to see if they can gain some traction.
I also wonder at this point, Don, if you're a Yankee fan, are you really dialed in even to the Astros of it all? Or are you just thinking about getting things together? Like, there's such disarray right now with this team. I think it's hard to have the normal, you know, Astros suck feeling that fans would have had if it was, you know, when it was early this season. It feels different to me because the team is, now you're more worried about your team just playing good baseball.
Well, but it's still part of it. Because, again, their record is good. You want to beat a good team. You took 2 out of 3 from them at the stadium. So you need some wins. You're still in fourth place. You're still 9 games back of Boston. In the wild card, the Yankees sit behind the Angels, Seattle, and Toronto, 4.5 games back of Oakland. Only, 3 in the loss column, but they still have to climb over 3 teams to get to Oakland. They need these games. But it's like, you know, it's Frank's Red Hot on top of the taco. It's still delicious, but it adds a little spice to it because it's Houston. You don't all of a sudden stop hating them because your team's average.
That's not what I mean, though. It's just like, yeah, it's more like it'll hurt more if it's a bad weekend, more so than it'll feel so great if they dominate them this weekend. I'm not saying you don't care. I'm just saying the reason you really want to see them dominate this weekend is you're desperate to see them dominate anyone. Whereas if at this point they had the same record as the Astros, I think you're able to focus more on the Astro hatred. I could be wrong, but if I'm a Yankee fan this weekend, it doesn't have the same appeal that it had at the beginning of the year or right. That it would have at the end of the year if we know that this team is good.
See, I can look at the opposite way, Peter, where if you're a team that is beginning to get disengaged with this team, you're getting frustrated with the Yankees, like to the point where all those Yankee fans who say it's unwatchable, this might be the weekend where you get re-engaged because of who it is. Just to stick it to that team and to beat that team.
I agree with you, but it's almost like that would happen after the fact. I bet if we take calls, which we will throughout the day, I bet fans lean towards me of they're not that geared up about it being the Astros. They want to go out there and get wins. And it could have been, what would be a fictional place that Michael would make up? The Gnoitny and Fisteris of baseball teams.
Right.
And if they, as long as they went out there and got wins this weekend, they'd feel good about it. Now, if they sweep the Astros, of course, you're right. Then I think it kicks in of like, yes, got a few wins we needed, and it felt extra sweet to get it against Houston.
Now, on top of everything else, Peter, your starting pitcher tonight is Gerrit Cole. And if you have any chance of getting back into this, you need Cole to become great again, become special again. And now he's going up against his old team where it all kind of crystallized for him in Houston. So, and whether it was the sticky stuff that got his spin rate rejuvenated after, you know, he got there a few years ago, or whether it was coaching or whether it was sticky stuff, whatever it is, they need Cole back. And so he's on the mound tonight. So there's a lot in it. And you got Zach Greinke, who always, you know, seems to struggle against the Yankees, but he's had a terrific year. He's 8-2 with a 3.64 earned run average. So I'm really I'm interested in this game. And you're right, this is just another subplot to it. But you want to see if Cole can get going against a really good team.
It's actually, I see Cortez listed as pitching tonight for the Yankees.
Oh, I got, you know what? I've already flipped to Saturday. I'm sorry, I was just looking at it. You got him. He's pitching Saturday tonight.
Greinke Cole's tomorrow.
Yeah,
tonight
that's tomorrow.
Is Cortez and Odorizzi.
Right, so you have, because I was just looking, I've got the app here and I had Saturday. But, you know, Cole is still pitching this weekend, so we're not going to get a chance to talk about it tomorrow. And then tie on against Valdez coming up on on Monday, because that's a wrap. It's a series, yeah, Sunday. So I'm just looking at the schedule. So Cole is going to pitch. They got to get him right. But then you start the series with, you know, Cortez, who actually pitched pretty well against the Mets last weekend, and Odorizzi, who's 3-3, but a good earned run average at 3.70. So there's a lot to get into with this Yankee Astro thing. And Peter makes a good point. Let's hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Let's hear from you at 1-800-919-3776, and let's get to the phones, and let's talk to Fred in the Bronx. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Fred?
How you doing, Don and Peter?
What's up?
You guys do a great show. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I'm calling to let you know, I'm 68 years old, been a Yankee fan all my life since I was 7 years old. As far as this team, I think this team is probably an average team. They might make the playoffs, but the bottom line is they're not a championship team. And I think after this season, to see how it goes, they got to reset the button. Because remember, when they initially started, like 16, 17, they start climbing, but I think it's just in my opinion. I think they reached the peak, and I think after this year, they got to reset.
Well, I don't know if they will, Fred, and that's been a topic of conversation for the last month, and thank you for the phone call. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. It's not going to at least happen until we get to July 30th. But we talked about yesterday about possibly trading Judge, and I don't know if that's going to happen. They're not going to blow it up. And this team isn't bad enough that I think they're going to completely fall out of it. You're 4.5 out in the wild card, 3 back in the loss column. So I understand, Peter, the whole idea of they're not good enough to win a championship. I don't think they are. But the Yankees are built that if they got a chance to make the playoffs, they're going to try to make it. So I don't think they're going to blow it up, at least right now.
I understand the logic, though. I do understand how people feel.
Right, but you know how the Yankees are. When you've got your own network and you've got tickets to sell and you're 3 games back of the loss column of the second wild card, you're going to try to see that through. Now, it's only July 9th. The deadline's the 30th. So we've got like 3 weeks here. Maybe it does bottom out. Maybe they completely fall apart. Now, you know, 3 back in the loss column becomes 7 or 8 back, and it's a different story. But I don't think this team is that bad that they're going to fall that much under 500 and completely fall out of the deadline. I don't think that'll be the case. And remember, when they sold in 2016, they sold a closer that they knew they were going to get back in free agency, and they traded a relief pitcher in Miller that they knew might have been damaged goods. So it wasn't like they blew it up either. It was a reset. They were sellers, not buyers in 2016, but they didn't blow it up. Let's go to Patrick in Queens. You're on ESPN New York.
Hey, how you doing, Don? Good talking to you. Peter, what's up, brother? How you doing?
What's up?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Yo, Pete, I love you and Ebro in the morning, man. I swear to God, I do. You, Laura Styles, and Ebro, man, really kicks up my morning really well.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, Donnie. So, yes. I agree with you. We should not, never let these guys up. Altuve practically stole money from Judge because, Judge could have been the, should have been the MVP. Have you compared the numbers other than batting average?
And don't rule out the fact, Patrick, that that's the reason why Altuve probably doesn't want to go to the All-Star game. Because remember, there was no All-Star game last year. So I wonder how he would feel sitting there and being in the same room with some of the guys that he cheated against and stole money from.
He could be hit with bars of soap.
Okay. Oh, you want to do like a Full Metal Jacket on him?
Exactly. Just tie him with some sheets and just get bars of soap like they were going pile.
Patrick,
something like that, you know?
Sadistic. Wow, you've taken it to a completely different level.
Who
Patrick
knew? Who, you never know where we're gonna go.
Wow.
Hey man, I'm here in the bank. I'm using the ATM, and you know, I'm just thinking of ways I can get back at the Astros.
Well, you got to just keep beating them. That's all you really can do, Patrick. The league wasn't going to do anything about it. You know, you're not going to get brawls. There were no headhunting in that series last month. Again, none of that really helps you. You need these games. The only revenge that you could really have is to beat them. But that, I don't think any fan's willing to ever forget. And nor should they.
Also, Astros will make it easy to remember considering the giveaways they're doing this weekend.
Oh, did you? I got to show you. You got to see these. I don't know if you have them in front of you.
No, I saw them. If for people who didn't see, on Saturday, the giveaway will be the 2019 AL Champions ring replica. 10,000 fans, by the way. On Sunday, the 11th, fans, 10,000 fans will be able to enjoy a Jose Altuve replica jersey. And tonight, for Friday night, 10,000 fans will get the 2019 AL Champions Trophy replica presented by Coca-Cola.
Now, this is kind of like the LeBron James conversation from yesterday. Is it a troll? Is it not a troll?
I don't think this is easier.
But it is, but their argument would be, well, listen, the sponsors, because every one of these giveaways, there's a sponsor attached. And the sponsor is always going to want to make sure that their giveaway is on a day where there's some juice in the building, like a weekend, which this is, and when you're taking on a team that's going to be a big draw, like the Yankees, and they are. So that would be their argument. No, 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 we're not trolling the Yankees. It's just that we know we're going to get sellouts for 3 days, and that's what the sponsor wants. You're not going to be giving away you're not going to have a big giveaway of merch like on a Tuesday, you know, when the Mariners are in town. You're going to do it on the weekend when you got the Yankees, who are one of the biggest, if not the draws, in Major League Baseball.
Although, I would argue from a business standpoint, you don't have to do it that way. People are coming out to see the Yankees no matter what. You might do a giveaway like that against, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor.
Well, that's what I always thought, but then somebody told me, no, 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 like the sponsor. Like, there's a spot. I don't know if they have the sponsor there. But, like, let's say it's, you know, some local, you know, Houston Gas and Electric or whatever is sponsoring it. They want to make sure that the jerseys and the trophies that have that on there are going to be given to every possible fan that's going to be in the building, and they want 40,000 in the building. Not where there might be a night where there's 20,000. But I used to think that way, too. It's like, no, you want to give them away on a big day when there's going to be a lot of people there. Or try to have that be the draw. Like, I want to get the Altuve jersey, so I'm going to go to a game I normally wouldn't go to. But I don't think that's the way the sponsor thinks. But it's a troll. Because the Yankees aren't the only draw. Right? There's other teams that they play that they could have the giveaway. It's just ironic. Every day? Like, you didn't spread them out over the season? It has to be all this weekend?
No, this is 100%. Right. A troll.
But a calculated troll, in my opinion, is to troll, but then have an excuse how it's not a troll. And that's what LeBron did when he made the announcement in Greenwich. To me, it was a troll, but there's a million reasons why he chose there that he could fall back on. That's why it's a classic troll. This is a classic troll. It's the Yankees. We're going to sell out the building. It's a weekend. But it's a troll. And that's why Yankee fans should never let this team up. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Oh, we got lots to do. Don and Peter on the Kay Show on, yes, and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, as I mentioned in the tease, it is a Who You Taking Out edition of the Daily Don. Because I was thinking about the Astros and the Yankees, right? And how it's become a rivalry, and certainly Yankee fans hate the Astros, and it looks like the Astros have no love for the Yankees. So I found it, Peter.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember it. Back on May 21st, 2020.
All right.
So we were a couple of months into the pandemic, no sports, right in the heyday of the top five. I did top five local non-divisional rivals.
I remember it.
Okay. So you start thinking, All right, that was 14 months ago. Lots changed now. Astros are good. You've got other possibilities. So what I'll do is I'll read down the top five, and then we can do a who you're taking out.
Who you taking out.
Okay.
Because you've got Yankees, Astros. And I want to throw in, Peter, the Lightning and the Islanders. Because since that list, the Lightning have taken the Islanders out twice in the third round. So I think the Islanders are probably fed up with Tampa, right? They probably feel like they could have won the Cups if they had found a way to beat Tampa last year in the bubble. Because I think they would have taken care of Dallas and they would have won the Cup. And then this year certainly would have beaten Montreal.
Yeah.
So if I want to throw in Tampa and New York and I want to throw and revisit Yankees Astros, who I added four last time, let's do this, all right? So number five back then, I had Knicks Heat. Would you want to replace them with Knicks Hawks? I wouldn't. I think it's too soon.
Certainly not. Wait, do you mean all? No, not historically.
Right.
Of course not.
But even right now, like, are you taking out Knicks Heat for
right
Islanders
now?
Lightning?
Oh, no.
Or Knicks
Hawks? No.
Okay. Now, Yankees Astros are at four. Now, keep that in mind when I mentioned three was Mets Yankees, two was Yankees Dodgers, and number one was Giants 49ers. Historic. Eight meetings in the postseason between the Giants and the 49ers, and the winner of the game went on to win the Super Bowl five times. But does Astros Yankees move from four to two to one, or does it stay at four?
Why would it move up at this point?
Well, because just, you know, the Astros are really good. Do you revisit it now?
No.
You don't?
No.
And do
Nothing's
you take
happened. The only way we look for a big move is if something huge happened between them.
Well, because I understand that, but a year has passed. Astros were very average last year, but still found a way to make the playoffs. And the way they kind of conducted themselves, even during the course of the season, how they never really apologized for it. Dusty Baker going public saying, "Why can't you just leave these players alone? Let's move on." I mean, I could see the blood boiling last year from the way the Astros kind of handled themselves, and now they've already played a series. Yankees took two out of three from them, but they're good again. They're 20 games above 500. The arrogance continues. Altuve and Correa don't want to go to the All-Star game, but it doesn't move the needle for you. Okay, I was just asking.
Not enough. Not enough. Andrew, you with me in lockstep?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm considering, I don't know, moving them up. Is Yankees Dodgers, is that just the historic nature of that? We're kind of leaning on that as a reason to remain ahead of them.
Well, that's all it can be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's tough to have the history because it's still something that's relatively new, right? But right now, you know, the Mets and Yankees just played each other, and the complaint was that there was zero juice. I think there's certainly more juice for Yankees Astros than there was for Mets Yankees. I think I move them from four. I think I'll put them over Yankees Dodgers. I think it's slotted into two now. I think it's got to that level.
Wait, the number two all time out of division rivalry.
Yeah. Not like it doesn't have history anyway. With the fact that they met each other in 17, met each other in 19, the cheating, I think, really adds a level.
You think historically Yankees-Astros is bigger than Lakers-Celtics?
Well, Lakers-Celtics is not a New York thing.
Oh, that's a good point.
God, I don't even have – Andrew, I don't even have him engaged in this. I'm going to talk to you. Because right now, if you're a Yankee fan, who do you hate more, the Mets, the Dodgers, or the Astros?
The Astros, easily.
So I think that in itself moves it to two.
It's definitely ahead of Dodgers at this point. Well, but how can we analyze the history, though? I don't know where you draw the line.
Well, I think history was a part of this whole thing.
Well, the question also is whether or not you think this rivalry between the Yankees and Astros, because of what just happened and like the way this went down, if this will have staying power where 30 years from now, this will still be a thing between the Yankees and Astros
I
that
think
people
it will
remember. I think it will, too.
I think I'm just telling Yankee fans they shouldn't forget.
Well, when was the last truly meaningful Yankees-Dodgers moment?
81.
And when was the first? When did it start?
Oh, you got to go back to, was it 47, I think they first met in the World Series?
So, in other words, things happened but over a 40-year period.
Right.
That have established the Yankees and Dodgers.
But you could also make the case that because, you know, it's lost a lot of juice because they haven't played each other in the World Series in a long, long time.
But now you're saying it's
been
40
years. And there's a generation of fans that right now, like, you know, Andrew's 37 years old. He was born in 84. He wasn't even alive when they played each other in 77 and 78 and 81 for the World Series. So I think to a lot of fans now, the Astros, I think it moves to two. I think it's easily right now the biggest rivalry the Yankees have outside their own division.
Oh.
It's not, I think it's got to go to two.
It's definitely the Yankees' biggest rivalry right now. I would say it's the Yankees' biggest rival right now, period.
And I would really consider putting Islanders Lightning at five because I don't know what kind of juice Knicks Heat have anymore. It was big for a while back in the 90s, but I think it's been 20 years now. I don't know if a Knicks fan hates the Heat. Maybe they did when LeBron was there, but that was just hating LeBron, not Miami. Are you comfortable with me having Lightning Islanders 5, taking Knicks Heat out, and then moving the Astros Yankees to 2? And then the Mets Yankees become 4, and Yankees Dodgers become 3. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Don, I actually think that's fair.
Fair, Andrew?
I think that works, yes.
I think that works. So that was a year ago. Can you believe it?
So what's the final order now as it stands?
Well, the final order now I have at 5, Lightning Islanders. Number 4, I have Mets Yankees. Number 3, I have Yankees Dodgers. Number 2, I have Yankees Astros. And still number 1 to me, Giants 49ers. But you can even make the case of moving Yankees Astros to 1. I don't know how many Giant fans hate the 49ers. I still do.
Again, though, that just makes me confused then about where the history part plays in this.
Well, the reason we revisited it is because at the time, we weren't playing, right? It had been 2 months and no sports. So we really laid on the history. And the Knicks were not a perennial, weren't the playoff team, obviously. The Islanders and Lightning had not even played in the post. They played in 16 in the second round. I'm going to throw that out there, too. But Mets-Yankees, I think that's gotten played because they played a lot last year. So we're just having some fun, Peter. I was going to do the Tom Hanks one, but they get upset when we talk movies for too long.
No, you got to move on. You got to move on. Can't talk about movies.
All right, let's bring the Mets into the conversation. Big series against the Pirates, not so much because it's any kind of rivalry with the Pirates. It's just that it's very winnable. They're 22 games under 500. The Mets can really get, I don't want to say well because they're okay now, but really just feel good about themselves going into the All-Star break. Pete Alonso was on the radio station earlier today with Chris Carlin. They're in Bart and Hahn, so we're going to find what he had to say. And the Mets can really pad their lead. Do you realize that Washington blew an 8-0 lead last night against the Padres?
Scherzer.
So, really, the Mets could – I'm not going to be in any kind of position say they can finish off the division with a 4-game sweep of the Pirates, but they could really – they could build up a nice little piece of momentum here going into the All-Star break. And there is no starter for Sunday, so there is a possibility that we could see Jacob deGrom at some point in the game on Sunday. It's Peter. It's Don. It's the K-Show. It's on Yes, a 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Knicks go after Chris Paul. And I know we weren't. It would have been a different situation last year, right? Non-playoff team. Bring in a 37-year-old point guard. But you saw the way the team reacted with Rose. And then you bring in an even better player now that they've established themselves as a playoff team. It makes perfect sense. Is there any way, Peter, you think that they can convince him to come here? I know getting a chance to play with LeBron, maybe win another title if he wins one this year. There's still the possible scenario that Phoenix may keep him. But is there anything the Knicks can do where he might say, yeah, I'll go play in New York. I'll go play with Tom Thibodeau and maybe see if I can't help these young kids and play, you know, in a big-time market at the end of my career?
I perhaps. I mean, it's such a wild card because if I'm Chris Paul, why am I doing anything to affect what I have going right now, which is clearly working? Like, why are you not figuring out a way to stay there?
Well, because he's going to opt out. But right, because that's the money play is to opt out. So once you opt out, then the offers start coming in. Like, is he not going to use his opt out and stay in Phoenix?
Who knows?
Once he opts out, that then Phoenix may just not want to have to pay him.
Well, what's the one thing we said about Chris Paul this week and why it seems to be that no one gives him exactly what his due is?
That he's been on multiple teams.
Too many teams.
Right.
And if he has a chance this year with them winning a championship or coming close to really establish himself, and you've heard it clearly in the quotes from Devin Booker and Ayton and everyone on that team, he's the leader. It's not just a group of talented players that he's a part of. It's a group of young players in Phoenix. And he came in to be the leader. Mm. I really believe that he's made an insane amount of money throughout his career. Insane. Insane through endorsements as well. If he wins a championship and wants to continue to play on, I think he will see Phoenix as his opportunity to have a place that he calls home after his career. Listen, all we're doing is making things up, but Don, to me, that makes way more sense than getting a few more bucks to go to New York.
I'm with you. Or anywhere else. Now, again, going to play with LeBron, you know, maybe that's a little different.
I'm with
Allen. It's a no-brainer if you're the Knicks, but to go play, you know, play with them. And the Knicks, listen, with CP3, they'd be better. They're not winning a title. But maybe if he goes to the Lakers, he can win. I'm with you. I would stay in Phoenix. You know, try to win another title with the Suns. Then you're John Elway, right? Then you go from never winning to all of a sudden winning back-to-back titles. But on the other end of it, hey, he's not really known for one team. He's bounced around, especially recently in his career. It's a lot of money to turn down. It'll be interesting. But I think if he opts out, Peter, he's gone. And then it's just a matter of where he goes, and I think the favor would be the Lakers. And then you'd be looking at the Lakers retooling with him, LeBron, and AD. And then you bring Golden State back into the mix healthy. Boy, does that make for an interesting Western Conference, because I don't think, you know, Phoenix will obviously take a step back, but they're not going to go away. Denver healthy. Clippers aren't going away either. That's going to make for a very interesting Western Conference next year.
Listen, we have no idea what's in the guy's head and whether or not he loves the idea of getting to play with LeBron. We have no idea whether it's that or whether he's the kind of guy who's like, yo, I'm not really for the super team. I'm good. Maybe I was, but now I'm enjoying it, this, and I don't have a lot of gas left in the tank. So rather than adding another jersey and making myself, you know, Yermer Yager a Jace, in terms of when you look at my pro basketball reference page, I want to close it out. And he sticks around, let's say, for two more years. They're both in Phoenix. They contend again for at least another year. And then he rides off. That's what I would do.
You know, what's interesting is that if they were to win another title, and again, that's a long shot because the West will be better and you have the Nets healthy next year. But he's in a conversation as one of the great Suns of all time. Well, how long is that list?
I mean, in terms of people that are... In terms of people that are icons there, you have
Barkley.
A bunch, actually. There's a lot. I mean, there's Barkley, there's KJ, there's Dan Majerle, there's Steve Nash, there's Stoudemire, Sean Marion's beloved there. Yeah. I mean, they have a list of players.
But he will be in that conversation as the only one with a ring.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He becomes a game changer, there's no doubt.
Quickly, let's go to Sean in New Jersey. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
I just want, so I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, so obviously I'm going to sit there and say that the series is definitely not over, you know, until it's over.
Right.
But so Peter's been on, you know, Giannis is great, phenomenal talent, Greek freak, right? But, I mean, he has a lot of flaws in his game, and he's still young, so obviously he can correct them. But I don't think the disrespect he gets warranted, but I don't think he's in that top tier. Also, I have to admit that, like, any year LeBron is in the league, if you go by what MVP means and he's healthy, it should be his because you remove him from the team. And, you know, that team's not.
I hear what you're saying. But, come on, I look at that team – And there's good guys on that team, don't get me wrong. But listen, like I said, like Shaq was flawed. Is Shaq not a great all-time player? And Shaq won was when he was in L.A. with Kobe and he went to Miami and played with Wade.
Oh, no, absolutely. But, I mean, the dominance between Shaq and Giannis, I think, is a little different. And that's the thing. When he's going downhill, Giannis, there's no one, you know, he might even be better than LeBron at getting to the cup, but when it's like a half-court game, slow down, which the playoffs tends to do, as we've seen in the recent years, he's pretty beatable. And the team, of course, the team has around him too. But
I don't know, man. I mean, Giannis is beatable in what sense? If we go back and look at him,
teams are beatable.
But if we go back and look at him game to game, his lines are insane in every game. I mean, he's had what, one or two sort of off games in the playoffs, and by that I mean they were considering Tuesday an off game, and he had 20-17. I just think the standard he's getting held to is nuts. To me, it seems crazy. Well, I understand.
Like,
I mean,
he's got to be held to the highest.
Well, but you know, what did Harden win? Is he getting the same abuse that Giannis is getting?
No, I'm not even going to comment on Harden. I don't like Harden at all.
Then who do you like?
But
Harden's an incredible player, too.
But Sean, thank you for the call. We're up against it. But honestly, the NBA is held. You know, we're late. I want to get into this because it's one thing that really bothers me about sports. It's not just Sean, but it's everybody and how we just kind of look at things in kind of a lazy analysis type of way. So we'll get into that when we come back. It's Don and Peter on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
404 in the big city. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg hanging out with you here on the K Show. And the K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been protecting both for over 75 years. Sean was a good caller because he stirred me up. And I'm not mad at Sean. I'm mad at the generation of fans that we're dealing with here. And Peter might fall into that generation, but I think he thinks a little bit more logically. And it's been something that's been happening for a long time here in sports, and it's really aggravating, and it's especially prevalent in the NBA. The two areas where I think it is the biggest, the NBA and quarterbacks in the NFL, where you're no good, you're worthless unless you win a championship. That your legacy is damaged, you can't be considered great, you can't be considered at that level because you don't have the ring. And we pick you apart. It was not always that way, Peter.
No.
You felt bad for Dan Marino.
Charles Barkley.
You felt bad for Charles Barkley. You felt bad for Reggie Miller. You felt bad for Stockton and Malone. You never said those guys weren't good enough. You said, yeah, it's just a shame they just can't be in the right situation. That Utah had to go up against Jordan all those years, or that Reggie had to go up against Jordan all those years. Like, you felt bad about it. You didn't sit there and go, well, you know what? Maybe Reggie's just not that player. You know, maybe Reggie Miller's just not that good. Sorry. You know, maybe Charles Barkley's not good enough. You know, I can't put Charles Barkley up there. He didn't win a title. Come on. You don't what would happen, Peter? Like Shaq. I bring up Shaq because I understand Shaq's a better player than Giannis. He's a more dominant player, bigger guy, different human being. but they had their deficiencies. If Shaq stayed in Orlando his entire career, never got anybody better to play with than Grant and Hardaway, and let's say he spent 15 years in Orlando, never went to the final just once in 95, maybe a couple of other trips to the conference final, didn't win. Is Shaq any less a player? But then he goes to L.A., hooks up with Kobe, wins three titles in a row, and now he's a god. Same player. Did we ever? No. So you tell me Reggie Miller played today. We'd be getting phone calls from people saying, okay, I can't put Reggie there, Peter. Can't do it. Sorry, guys. No, we felt bad for him because he was a Pacer, and the Pacers just, they weren't good enough as a team, and they were in a conference that had really good teams, and they just couldn't get by them.
Well, so Don.
Was it a deficiency of Reggie Miller? Did we ever criticize Reggie Miller? Did we ever say it was Reggie was the reason why the Pacers didn't win a title?
Also, then let's stop getting mad at players for going hunting for championships when this is now how they're graded.
But you're right. I mean, I could still get mad at them, but I get mad at the situation because that because
that's what they're graded on. Reggie Miller would be considered a loser.
But it's not right. Don't go by those people.
Well,
like, why does that have to be the narrative when it wasn't always the narrative? Now, sometimes players aren't good enough to win a title, and sometimes it's their fault. But I grew up with a lot of great players in the NBA, quarterbacks, baseball players, hockey players that were tremendous players that just didn't win. And I didn't sit there going, well, they're not winners. I said, well, it just stinks that they just could be in that situation. But then that narrative forces them to go build the super team when they're the exact same player, but now they're a god because they went someplace where they could win. I'm sure if Reggie Miller was able to hook up with the Bulls, he would have won six titles, and now he's looked upon as a better player than if he just stayed in Indiana his entire career and only went to one final. So Giannis is in Milwaukee. He gets no credit for putting the Bucks back on the map. 5 years ago, you couldn't name two Bucks over the last 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're a consistent playoff team. They're in the finals for the first time since 74, and we're picking him apart saying he's not good enough. Meanwhile, if you went and signed with the Clippers and played with Kawhi, he'd win the title next year, and now all of a sudden he's good enough? Does that make any sense? So Davis is a champion because he goes to the Lakers. If he stayed in New Orleans and then it was a Pelican his entire career, he wouldn't be good enough? So that's what I got to say. You got to stop. Not good enough. There's other reasons. It's just lazy analysis. It's always on the star player, not the coaching, not the players around him, not the circumstances. Counting rings is lazy. You don't think if Dan Marino was a Cowboy, he might have won a couple of rings? He was a Dolphin. The Dolphins were good, but they didn't have great defenses, and he made Duper and Clayton. But he's the guy without a ring. John Elway was a much better quarterback when he was losing Super Bowls than the two that he won. The two that he won, he was at the end, Peter.
No, I remember well.
He wasn't even close to as good as he was in the 80s. And he wins back-to-back titles, and now he's a god. But he couldn't win the big game. He was a much better quarterback when he was getting blasted by the Redskins and blasted by the Giants and blasted by the 49ers. I understand rings are a good tiebreaker and it's a good conversation, but can we go a little bit deeper than just, well, Giannis isn't winning. He's got to win this championship to cement his legacy. Otherwise, he's just not good enough. Not the fact that he has actually resurrected a franchise and made them matter.
Well, and you get punished for doing the right thing. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, Don. This is what's unfair for the players. It's not so easy to just go, well, don't listen to them. They're getting it from both sides because they have people telling you if you don't win a championship, your career's a failure. And then they're also telling people, people are also telling the athletes, I'm tired of these super teams. Okay, so if you're tired of super teams, the alternative to super teams are players like Giannis and Chris Middleton deciding to stay in a mid-market like Milwaukee to try to make this team matter. But then if they come up short against said super teams because they're not able to do it, but they wanted to stay in Milwaukee, they wanted to stay with the team that gave them the shot, they'll get killed for that. So what are you supposed to do? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, but I just think it comes down to, are the people that are killing you being logical? Like, I always use this analogy, too. It's not even an analogy. It's a fact. Colin Cowherd was on this air for a long time. and he made it a cottage industry to kill Carmelo Anthony. You'll never win with Carmelo Anthony. Why do you think he said that, Peter? Because he knew Carmelo Anthony wasn't going to win. Because Carmelo Anthony was never in a situation to win.
Right.
So it was easy to go after him and then just define him as a player, as a failure, and not be LeBron James and not be a great player when he was in Denver and he was in New York, where those teams didn't have a chance to win. So, listen, rings are important. It's how we keep score. I get it. But I didn't – and we had those debates when I was a kid. Who's better than who? And then usually the guy with more rings would end up being looked upon as better. But if you really look at it, Reggie Miller, I don't think, would be able to exist in the way sports are right now. He was celebrated as a player, Peter. People loved to watch him. He was a star. Didn't matter that he didn't win. Didn't hurt his legacy that he didn't win. You felt bad for him. Now it would be like, oh, all shoot, no go, no defense. Too flawed a player. God, it's just, and you're right, Peter. I don't like the whole idea of the super team, but I guess you get it. When you hear it, you can't be good unless you go and win the championship. But God, it just seems lazy, right? I wasn't good enough to do it there when I was the man and I got them into the playoffs every year, but I'll go team up with two other stars and win the ring where I don't contribute nearly as much as I did in the other place, but now I'm a god. It's when you hear it spelled out, doesn't it sound stupid? If LeBron James stayed in Cleveland and never won, would he be any less a player?
Well, and how about this? LeBron's gotten it from every angle. Left Cleveland, formed a super team, bad guy. Went back to Cleveland, won a championship. Decides to leave and go to Los Angeles for other reasons. Killed again. Everyone gives LeBron a hard time. It seems that no one gives LeBron the full... I mean, in Cleveland, don't get me wrong, he had a young Kyrie Irving who played a pivotal role. But, I mean, what was that team without LeBron James?
Sean really kind of just triggered it for me that Giannis is going to be painted as that guy. And I'm not apologizing for him. He's flawed. And he's still young. He could still develop. But he could just be a beast, not win, be criticized for it. Go to a super team in 2-3 years when his contract is up, be a half the player he is in Milwaukee, and he'd be looked upon as, all right, now he's legit because he's got the rings. Just weird. But that's where we're at. 1-800-919-3776. Mac in Randolph. You're on ESPN New York.
Oh, thanks so much, guys, for taking the call. Just real quick side note. It was my birthday the other day, and my brother got me a couple cameos from both Peter and Don. So I haven't heard them yet. I'm excited to hear them.
Well,
so how do you know you have them? How do you know you have them if you haven't heard them?
You know what? It's a great point. My brother's – I don't even know. My brother said he got them for me. I don't know what that entails, so I don't know.
Interesting.
I only know how it works from our end. I don't know how it works from your end.
Well, he can choose when to, like, send it to him.
Well, maybe he's waiting for that quiet moment, Peter. Dim the lights a little. Maybe get some candles going. And really just get us in the best possible light.
That could be it. I wanted to call about Giannis. I like Giannis a lot, and I'm rooting for the Bucks to win. And I wanted to talk about how he's so confusing to watch because he'll score 30 points, and I will never know it. I mean, I'll look at the box score, and it's like, oh, my gosh, he's been playing well this game. It won't seem like as he's doing it, but as I was listening, I disagree with what Don says. Wherever a player goes to a super team, they'll be team legit. Like, I think Dame Lillard is legit because he's still playing his heart out in all these games, even though he's never going to get to the championship, because his team's often worse than, like, the Bucks are right now. The Bucks are a great team even without Giannis. I think that's what makes it so hard. I blame Middleton more than Giannis for the last couple of losses, but I think if Giannis were on a worse team and playing just as well, he'd get just as much credit. But this Bucks team could be playing better, especially last year when they lost to the Heat. I mean, that was really a bad loss.
Well, but how good a team is this? If Giannis is gone, Middleton's the best player. What kind of team is this Bucks team?
Well, they're definitely a playoff team. I think Middleton can be in now. But even if you replace Giannis with just another sub with a different player who's not his caliber, they're definitely a playoff team, Eastern Conference final team.
No, you're mad. You're mad. You have mad cow disease. You ate something. They're an Eastern Conference finals team. If you replace, and by the way, I love you, appreciate you deeply, but if you replace Giannis with someone who's like a pretty good middling big man, the Chris Middleton, the team they are right now, Middleton, Drew Holiday, Connaughton, Lopez, that team's in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think they have the chance to be. I think they'd lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I mean, they would have beaten the Knicks and the Hawks if that was in the past. If the Nets were
they wouldn't have
they
beaten the
lost,
Hawks. They could barely beat the Hawks as it was.
No, they're
not beating the Hawks like that. I'm sorry. I don't think so. Maybe the Knicks. They're losing to the Nets. They're losing to the Hawks. They're losing to the Heat. I mean, that guy was a great guy. But simultaneously, basically just took a huge number two on Giannis.
No matter what, it's always back
to dumping on Giannis.
And it's interesting because he did bring up somebody that maybe is involved in this is Lillard. Because everybody seems to love him, love his game, and nobody's mad at him for not having won. That's the one guy you seem to feel bad for. But I don't know what – maybe that's because it's Portland and his games are late at night and we only get to really see him in the playoffs and you kind of know that the Blazers are really big underdogs. Can't really say that Portland's ever, like, blown a series, right, where they were a huge favorite. Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong, but – it always seems like they're the underdog little engine that could, and that they never really were the big, bad Portland Trailblazers that blew it. And maybe that'll change, but maybe he's the one exception. And listen, as much as I love Damian Lillard, am I putting him in the conversation with LeBron James and Michael Jordan? I think he's a great player, but being in Portland and never really being that – I don't know if he's the exception to the rule. Or maybe he's just not at the level of the players that we're talking about. But he's the one guy that doesn't seem to get beat up for not winning. But that's the exception to the rule. Vinny in Staten Island, you're on ESPN New York.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
First time, long time. No, just going back to that the conversation you just having about the championships and does it really matter if you win one or not? And then the whole Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. You know, if Barry Sanders is behind that offensive line with Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin, how would he have done? And, I think it's a little ridiculous,
Oh, I used to have that debate all the time, Vinny, especially being a Cowboy hater, a proud Cowboy hater. But I don't want to take anything away from Emmitt Smith. But honestly, if Emmitt Smith was drafted by the Lions and Barry Sanders was drafted by the Cowboys, you're not telling me Barry Sanders has a couple of rings on his finger? Of course he does.
I agree 100%. And that's what I'm just saying. Just wanted to make that point real quick because I think all these super teams nowadays and everything, it's ridiculous to say that a guy, just because he hasn't won a ring, come on.
But Peter's right, though. The narrative is so powerful. We're not just talking about fans. We're talking about media, too. Media is guilty of this, too. We do it all the time. I did it when I was younger, too, at times, with putting the end-all, be-all into the rings. I don't think that should be the main reason. But, you kind of feel like, all right, I'll let them up for creating the super team because they're probably tired of getting beat up by the media and the fans who think that they don't have any value because they don't have rings. But – I don't think it's a baseball conversation as much because you can't control things in baseball. So, it's a conversation in hockey with goaltenders. How many rings do you have? Because there's not many goaltenders in the NHL, in the Hockey Hall of Fame that didn't win. But you're telling me Henrik Lundqvist wasn't great? You're telling me Jonathan Quick is better than Henrik Lundqvist because Quick's got two rings? I'm going to tell you, he's not. I can tell you a lot of goaltenders that have rings. Nikolaj Hobby-Bulin has a ring. Corey Crawford's got a ring. Peter's boy, Matt Murray's got two.
Right.
But that gets – so if you want to be lazy, All right. Well, listen, Matt Murray's got to be better than Henrik Lundqvist. He's got two rings. Jonathan Quick's got to be better than Henrik Lundqvist. He's got two rings. I'm telling you, you're wrong. If Dan Marino was a quarterback today, Peter, I think he would be constantly eviscerated for not being good enough. Constantly. And meanwhile, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived, that ever touched a football.
Yeah,
I got news for you. I got news for you. You ready for this?
Sure.
He's every bit the quarterback Tom Brady is.
Oh, Don, on the
eye test. Every bit the quarterback.
Hold on. No, let's go a step further. If you lived and grew up watching Marino and you got to watch Brady, when you watched them physically play the game, Marino was better. I'm sorry.
Right.
He was better. There's no reason to. Now, I know with Brady, the problem with Brady is Brady's actually the ultimate example, Don. He's become number one, Don, because of the championships.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. We all think Aaron Rodgers is better. We all think Marino's better.
We've said that, right? But if we get into a war with somebody, the atomic bomb they would have is that he's got seven rings.
No, Don, it goes worse than that. Hold on. Let's go further. Let's stop for a second. Brady is called the greatest football player of all time.
Right.
He's not. He is not the greatest football player of all time, Don. He's not a better football player than Dan Marino. Or there are people who would say Jim Brown or whoever it is. He's not. But the winning, because of the era we live in and the amount of insane winning he's done, and of course there's other things. He's a great player, and he's done it now for 20 years. So he deserves to be near the top. But the reason he's number one with a bullet, and everyone says it, is because of what you just said. Rings right. have become the only defining characteristic of all-time greats these days.
Now, and I'm okay with that at that level. But I'm not going to sit there and disrespect the guy that doesn't have them.
But you don't think it's weak and lazy to just make him number one? Jump everyone?
I concede the argument because, again, you can't really go wrong because he's got seven rings and he's won it with two different teams and all that. But I've said on the air, I think John Elway was better. I think Aaron Rodgers is better. I think Dan Marino is better. But the rings do matter. But I'm not going to sit there and say that these players, that Dan Marino was weak and couldn't win a big game and was a choke artist, like what we end up doing, right? It's not enough to just say, all right, I'll give you Brady, but these guys were really good too. It's, well, you know, look at that interception he threw in the fourth quarter in that championship game, or he just, you know, he wouldn't play with any great players, or he wouldn't reduce his salary to bring another. There would always be some excuse to devalue them. Instead of just tipping your cap and saying, all right, you win the tiebreaker, but these players are really good too. We have gone to the level of not just conceding the argument, Peter, but now just completely eviscerating the guy that doesn't have them. The fact that we're taking phone calls on just picking Giannis apart rather than saying that the guy not even close to 100% went out there and put 42 up in a game they probably would have been blown out by 40 if he didn't play. No, we can't do that. We got to rip the guy. Now time for this date in Yankees history, brought to you by Woodbridge, by Robert Mondavi. With a third-inning home run off of Tampa southpaw David Price, this was in 2011, Derek Jeter became the 28th player and the first in a Yankee uniform to collect his 3,000th hit. The captain enjoys a five-hit day in the Bronx, including an infield single in the eighth that drives in the winning run in the team's 5-4 victory. I know this is last second, Anthony, but when it's involving our guy, I think we need to hear the call of said 3,000th hit.
Oh, you're going to make him dig this up? How about
while you're doing that, I'll say that's this date in Yankees history.
Beautiful.
Brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge, a product of Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years.
Don, while we're at it, let me just also throw in, we're in the midst of Summer Fridays on the K-Show. All brought to you by new Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free.
I think that was ample time.
If he was listening.
To hear. It was that on the air that you just told me that, or in my ear? I want you to say it out loud. I want you to be the one responsible.
It was deleted from the system. You're not going to get it. I'm sorry. At least not here.
Which is also not entirely.
Also what?
True. That's not entirely true.
What do you mean?
It wasn't deleted. It when we moved, a lot of
things happened.
We moved. One of the things being that certain cuts didn't make it.
They didn't make the
and
cut. The, cuts
the fun
the
thing
cut.
That we've had to do while you guys have been home is figure out which ones made it and which ones didn't.
Right.
And now we learned something.
Well, right. Not for nothing, but that's a cut that should have been in like a vault that was like,
well, it's in a
locked
vault.
Down.
The vault's called
in.
YouTube. We'll be okay.
All right, we're gonna have it when we come back. Michael deserves, even though he's being mean to
you,
us.
You really think there are listeners right now who need you to pay this off and go, I need to hear that 3,000th hit call? They've
no,
heard
I want to be. I want to take the high road because he took the low road because he tweeted out something about him not being here because there was a picture of a guy with an Untucked shirt that looked gorgeous and they'd split
and what did he
the
say?
Screen. And then, but the reason he did that because then he gets us all as sycophants to basically say we're ruining the show. Please hurry back. That's why he did it. And so he's luxuriating in the fact that we're killing his show and all the fans want him back. But I'm going to take the high road and play his cut when we come back and not rip
that.
Him a new one like I should. On Yes, a 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's right. Peter and Don on a, actually what's turned into a pretty beautiful Friday afternoon here in New York. Summer Fridays on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. And I do need to remind everyone that one more time, yes, I have one more four-pack to go to SmackDown Live at MSG. WWE is back on the road again, and they're coming home to the Garden Friday night, September 10th. Now, listen, I found out this is a special show. Not only do you have SmackDown stars like Roman Reigns and Edge, Bianca Belair, but now we found that they are also going to have Raw superstars there as well. It's going to be basically a super show. Tickets are on sale right now. They are available at Ticketmaster, but I'm giving away a four-pack at 6 o'clock during ENN.
And, of course, it wouldn't be the Michael K. Show, Peter, if it wasn't for GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So the big weekend for the Yankees begins in Houston with the Astros. And this will be the first time they're in Minute Maid Park since the Altuve home run. And so that's going to bring back a lot of memories for, I'm sure, them and for the Yankees who need these games, right? They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle, did what they had to do, although a disgusting performance yesterday, only getting one hit, which is crazy. But still, they took 2 out of 3, which you need to do. And now if they can take 2 out of 3 from the Astros and kind of stabilize things going into the All-Star break. And they'll have Cole going tomorrow and see if he can get going again. But this Astros team is good. They're 20 games above 500. So there's a lot of things at play here, Peter. Yankees need these games. They hate the Astros. The return to the scene of the crime. At least we believe something was going on with Altuve in the jersey. And the troll job that the Astros are doing with all their giveaways this weekend. Oh, conveniently, that the New York Yankees are there. Because in their path to the 2019 championship, they went through the New York Yankees. And Peter mentioned this earlier. They've got all these giveaways. And I'm just trying to punch them up here.
Oh, it's not right what
they're
doing.
There was a text to me earlier in the show by the great Anthony Pusick.
That's a great guy.
Tomorrow, you are going to receive, if you go to Minute Maid Park to enjoy the Yankee game, you're going to get the 2019 American League Champions ring. Tell you, that ring really resonates when, it didn't win a championship.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Kind of like the AFC championship ring that ended up in the dolphin pool in Ace Ventura. which I always kind of laughed at, like that's a ring anybody would want. And then Sunday, Peter, you're going to receive a replica Altuve jersey. And then tonight, and everybody's clamoring for this. This is going to look great on anybody's nightstand in Houston.
Go ahead.
The 2019 American League Champions Trophy.
Look at this garbage.
That's...
If Manfred thinks that the World Series trophy is a piece of tin, what is this?
Oh, no. What?
Aluminum? So, I know the Yankees have their issues. And I know no matter who they're playing, they got to win games. But you're going back to where Altuve hit the home run. Chapman gives it up. Your dreams of a championship go. Then all the things that happened after that with the cheating, the admitted cheating and then the investigated cheating in 2017. What everybody concludes with some form of cheating in 2019. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention. I know you're kind of down on the Yankee fans on how they're playing. But no matter, even if you're one of those fans that want to see them tank so that you can fire Cashman and Boone, this is probably a weekend where you still want to sweep. So all that goes into a nice cauldron of baseball at Minute Maid Park. You like your orange juice boiling, you're going to get a chance to do that tonight. Yankees Astros.
Yeah, I certainly, like I said earlier in the show, I really think it's hard to concentrate on the Astros part of this thing. You know, it just loses a lot of the luster if you're a Yankees fan from the series at the beginning of the season or maybe at the end of the season if they're both really competitive. But right now, Yankees need wins. They need wins. They need to get a couple of wins this weekend and continue to pick up ground here. So it would be nice, a little bonus to get it against the Astros, especially with them doing obnoxious things like giving 10,000 fans reminders of how they cheated to beat you. But I think you're really thinking about wins if you're a Yankees fan, and that's it. And also getting a good Garrett Cole tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be important because, listen, forget about it. It's a pipe dream thing, and this team's going to do anything. If Cole is going to be average, they're going to need him. No question. So I don't think when they signed him to the contract, they thought they were going to need him in the regular season, but they're going to need him in the regular season for sure. If this team's going to be able to get into the playoffs. The division's starting to slip away. They're 9 back. It's still doable for the wild card. 3 back in the loss. 4.5 overall. Now, the Mets begin a 4-game homestand or a 4-game series, continuing their homestand against the Pittsburgh Pirates team that's, 22 games under .500. Penguins might have a better chance of beating the Mets than the
it would be interesting, too.
Than the Pirates. But still, the Mets can't sleep on anybody because they need wins. And they've got a chance here with everybody that's chasing them in their own division being under .500. The Nationals blew an 8-0 lead yesterday in San Diego and lost. But a nice chance to kind of pad the lead. And this was tweeted out a few hours ago, Peter, by Buster Olney.
Okay.
Who said, Jed Hoyer, the Cubs head of baseball operations, signaled yesterday out loud that his team is prepared to move players. No sources needed. So when you look at what the Cubs have, I think there's a really good chance that they can make a deal with the Cubs to get better, get the third baseman they need, maybe get a pitcher they need. Somebody had called up earlier about trying to get Kyle Hendricks from Chicago. So I think there's a good chance the Mets can actually improve. Buster told us that earlier in the week, that because of all these bad teams in the National League, that the Mets are going to have like a field day of trying to improve their team, and with an owner that is willing to go over the luxury tax, add salary. The Mets are really, I know Met fans don't want to embrace the madness because they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Nobody hates their own team more than Met fans, and I'm one of them. But it's becoming a reality here. They're winning this division. It's their division to win. Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, you've got a 4-game lead. Everybody's under .500. Chris Bryant's available. You're going to get healthier in the second half of the season, certainly more than you were in the first half of the season. So embrace it. It's a good baseball team. Maybe not a great baseball team, at least maybe not right now, but a very good baseball team that's in a bad division that they should be able to win. And then you just took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. who is a team you might meet in the postseason. You know, the Dodgers might have Bauer in the second half of the season. I think the Giants are going to have a rougher second half than they had in the first half because I think they're kind of doing it with mirrors. The Padres are really good. But the Mets are in the conversation, one of the two or three best teams in the league. So the record of 45-38 doesn't pop out at you as being anything real special. But in that division, it does. In that league, it does. And you know once you get to the postseason with a healthy DeGrom, Stroman, Walker, the kind of season he's having, possibly having Syndergaard healthy, possibly having Carrasco healthy, possibly being able to add a starting pitcher. Tell me you don't love them at a best of five or best of seven series. And now you've got an owner that does bother me on Twitter and does seem to be a little tone deaf at times. But as far as being an owner of a team that's willing to add, willing to increase the payroll if needed to win, this is as good as you can feel about this team in a long time. Certainly since 15-16 when they went to the World Series and then went to the wild card. And it looks like it's something sustainable because you're not an old team by any stretch. So embrace it. Get into it. Met fans want a reason to be excited. Be excited. You know, we always have that conversation, Peter. What local team is the closest to a championship? Islanders, Nets, Mets. Well, you know what? Islanders had their chance, came up short. Nets had their chance, came up short. Now the Mets. That's the team, right? First place team. I just outlined all the reasons you could be excited in the second half of the season. Maybe it'll be them. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I feel like I have to talk Met fans into being excited sometimes, especially on this show. But let's do it. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark. He's in Staten Island. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Last week, you guys were talking about a trade chip for the Yankees and who would be like a perfect guy to fit in there. I think it'd be Rizzo. I mean, he's a glue guy. He plays. He's a left-handed hitter. Plays great defense. The Porcher plays short to him in Yankee Stadium. And then you could probably package up Voit and a couple other guys and send them over here. He'd be a good fit for the Yankees.
Well, I mean, he's obviously a name. Now, I don't know if that's going to be enough. You said a couple of guys. Who else are you willing to give up?
I give Voight's up anybody not be enough. In the farm system, except like the A++ guys. I give up a lot of guys because, you know, he has championship pedigree. He's a lefty bat in the middle of the lineup. He would see a lot of errors maybe with Torres and LeMahieu and with their throwing errors recently. I think he'd be a perfect fit for the Yankees.
Well, again, they're selling low, right? Because he had 11 home runs last year in 58 games. He has 10 home runs through 77 games this year. All right, so he's pretty far removed from being the perennial all-star that he was. But you're right, power hitter, left-handed bat. I don't know what you have
Italian
to give up,
too,
Mark. You got Voit. All right, so it's a lateral move as far as the power is concerned because a healthy Voit all season long can produce the power as well. But you're right. But the thing that makes it interesting, you know, a glue guy, which I think they might need, bringing somebody that's got a ring, you know, bringing somebody that can kind of stir it up just a little bit. It looks like they might need that. But hey, we'll see. But Voit and who is that a guy that they want to really give up a lot of prospects for? Let's go to David in Yonkers. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Is it cool if I talk about the NBA stuff?
Go ahead.
All right. So I just wanted to share with you guys that I find it really odd that we love to say that Jordan is perfect, yet we penalize LeBron for getting to the finals and then losing them. I just think that without logic, we should also penalize Jordan for the years that he didn't get to finals, you know?
Well, agreed. You know, it's a great conversation, right? Everybody kind of excuses 93 as if he wasn't there. Peter, he was there. Not 93. What was it? I guess it was
the one when he came back?
90. Yeah, so it was 95, right? He came back in 95, and then they Would they lose in the second round? But to Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
And, you see, everybody kind of misremembers that he was gone those 2 years. But he did come back in that, well, in the middle of that second year and played, and he was in the postseason. Now, he obviously wasn't at 100% because he hadn't played in a while. But people forget, and I even forgotten that when I was reminded when I watched The Last Dance that he was in that playoff. And we excuse that. And we excuse all the losing he did. He didn't win a championship until he was 27 years old with Collins as the coach before Jackson got there.
Correct.
So there is a little misremembering or conveniently forgetting that there was a lot of losing around Michael before he won those championships. And then we kind of just excuse 95 as if it didn't happen. It did. So we say, you know, he was 6-for-6. Yeah, in the finals, he was 6-for-6, but you know, we don't give him any credit for losing in 95. We don't give him any grief for the losses before Phil got there.
I mean, he played 14 NBA seasons. How dope is it that he just gets 6-for-6?
Oh, it's crazy.
14 seasons, 6-for-6. LeBron is punished for making more championships when Jordan was just not going to the championship at all.
Right. So it would be better off for him not to go than to go and lose.
Right. No, Jordan gets a lot of really favorable conversation. Michael wouldn't do this. Michael wouldn't do that. You know, Michael, I got news for you. Michael was not a great guy. And right. And guess what? LeBron is. And so we act as if Jordan's not only a great player, but as if he's somehow the moral compass and the conscience of the NBA also.
See, everybody has their missteps, and we've gotten on LeBron a little bit for being a tad disingenuous recently with the play-in and all that, and with the injuries and, you know, complaining about when they started and all that. But you talk about likability?
Stop.
Way more likable as James. But the political stuff aside, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like that aspect of it, but, you know, a kind person, great teammate for the most part. And again, not to knock Jordan, but you know it's convenient to try to win your argument sometimes the direction it'll go into. Tom in Virginia, you're on ESPN New York. How are you, Tom?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, our pleasure.
Hey, Don, I was just calling to say I think you're getting a little wound up maybe on the Mets right now. You know, have you looked at their schedule for August? They're going to be going on the West Coast and having to play San Diego, the Giants, and the Dodgers, which I am a Washington football fan, also a Nats fan, and it's by the end of August maybe you could be making those thoughts, but there's still a lot of baseball to be played.
I get it. I understand that there's a lot of baseball left to be played, but I don't think there's enough credit given to the fact that they've had adversity they've had to overcome with having as many as 16, 17 players on the IL. Having all these rainouts, all these doubleheaders, and they're in first place. They're the only team that's above 500. Again, I've said it. How many times do I have to say it? I don't think they're a great team. I do think they benefit from the division and the league they play in. But guess what? If they win the division, they don't have to give it back because the division was bad. If they make it to the World Series, they don't have to give it up because the National League was off that year. And listen, he's not a Met fan, so I'm not going to jump him. He's a Nats fan. And he might be right in a second, but the second half they should be better. They should be healthier. They're going to get some players back. They've got a chance to add for the first time in forever. We're not talking about pinching pennies. We're not talking about everybody else getting better except you. Making big trades, sustainable trades, good baseball people to make them. There's a lot of reasons to get excited. I'm not going to apologize for getting excited about it. That's like the typical Mets stuff. It's like as soon as they're good, there's got to be reasons why they're not really that good. Listen, I can look at the standings as easily as anybody else and see how many teams are under 500 in the National League. So I got to give it back? Heck, in 73 they went to the World Series. They were like a game above 500 in the regular season. Still beat the Reds. Still went to Game 7 of the World Series against the A's. I shouldn't have to apologize for anything.
Don.
Guess what? I'm not.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
Fix that!
I don't want you to.
1-800-919-3776. Tons of phone calls to get to. Andrew Gunling is percolating a tremendous CNN, which will
be televised,
by the way. None of this getting off to the early because of the batting practice garbage, because of the Yankees being an 8 o'clock start. Guess what? TV. And can we get a camera on Andrew, for God's sakes? He's the best-looking guy on the show.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a I never said it. I never said it.
I love this guy.
I don't know if I agree with that.
All right. Well, who do you have? You can't count yourself.
I'm the only one in the conversation. And I think you're probably right. But I think it's me, and you know, I'm trying to battle with him there. It's clearly not Michael. I think I have you.
I don't think we're a handsome show by any stretch.
You'll ruin everything.
Well, listen, I'm the third guy on the show.
Sure.
And I'm kind of hitting above my weight class.
No, you're the best looking of the three of us.
That's what I mean. But you guys are not. You're not living up to your end of the deal as the one and two guys on the show. You know what I mean?
No, and you look at the other shows.
Yeah, I speak well. My body's in shambles.
DCR. I mean, DiPietro is a good looking guy.
And
Chris is also good looking.
Chris,
and
a handsome
Dave,
dude.
Dave's not bad.
He's not great.
But he's not bad.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
The morning show kills us. Bart and Han kill us. We got Carlin.
We got Carlin. Sure.
And Gordon's a pretty good-looking guy, too. So, we're the best show on the station. I don't mind saying that.
I felt bloated.
But from a good-looking standpoint, we're drafting high. Fair?
That's totally fair. And don't get me wrong. Andrew should be on camera.
Yeah. Even if he looked like a horse, he should be on camera.
We should have asked at the beginning of the week, though. All he needs to do is download the app. It's not that hard.
He doesn't want to be bothered because he doesn't think he's worthy of TV.
No, because I've had it.
Now, Andrew, when you do the ENN, though, you stay without TV. You just sit in your seat, right?
Yeah, I'm just in the control room.
Oh, so that's kind of nice, though. He doesn't have to go sit in the studio.
Yeah, so as long as he's comfortable.
Remember, it's a radio vehicle,
but I just want – listen, I want to be
Oh, it's a radio-only vehicle
show.
Today?
What's that?
It's a radio-only vehicle anyway?
No. We're on TV.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that's the main concern. But I think since we're deficient in the looks area, we should try to get Andrew on more. That would help us, I think.
Well, I just got a major follow.
Oh,
major
really?
Major follow. You guys will be excited for me. Well, I'm gonna tell you when I get back. And I'm just going to be honest, it's not going to be exciting for the audience, but I think you guys will agree that it's very exciting for me.
Okay. Maybe we'll do that. We'll go through the most recent verified follows.
Well, that'll ruin it then you'll see.
No, I'm not going to look at yours.
Oh, you mean in general?
I'm just saying it when we come back. A little humble brag for Peter.
I got you.
On Yes, a 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.